The psalmist tells there are two ways that we can walk in this life, two choices that we have to make, and that is something that is so important for us. We all make choices and we all make decisions practically every day of our lives. Some are life-changing decisions, others are perhaps not so important. But we have been given the gift of discernment, of seeking to understand and to make a decision when we have thought, when we have prayed, along which way we should go. And that's what we find in the book of Psalms here, Psalm 1. It's the introductory psalm to the Psalter, and certainly it speaks of a man who made the right decision. A decision to follow Christ, to follow God, and to be faithful to his calling. Our New Testament reading, where Paul speaks and shares with Timothy, a young minister who was beginning his pastoral care of the church, seeking to advise him on the way that he should walk, to seek counsel and help, to be a good witness to the Saviour who had redeemed him, and to make that confession of faith, as he did before many witnesses, Paul says, when he was baptised and when he was brought into the church. Timothy made the right choice. So the saints through the ages have been challenged. Which way do we go? What path should we follow? I'm always amazed now, you know, because I'm in the AA, I'm sure you are as well, or the RSC. And years ago, you had to run and find a box along the way to make a phone call to get help, didn't you? Now you can have an app on your phone, and they will find you. Yeah, all you've got to do is sit in the car, press the app, they will find you. You don't have to make a decision anymore. You don't have to get out of the car. You don't even have to make a phone call. You can just know that someone's going to come along, because that's the nature of technology in the day in which we live in. It takes away even the problem of making a particular choice, does it? There it is. Help will come. As we look at this book of Psalms, and as we look at the first psalm, we can see that the paths that he has ordained are paths that lead into the very presence of God himself. He speaks of a man being blessed who doesn't do certain things. If you're going to call the AA, all you're going to do is press the app and the help will come. And that's what he says here. The reality is that God blesses the one who trusts and believes in him. Trust and believe in the one who came, and trust and believe in his goodness, who delights in the law of the Lord, who trusts implicitly that he will help him in his hour of need, in his hours of darkness, that he will be with him and never leave him or forsake him. And because of that, he is a man who follows the ways that God has ordained. We live in a secular and indifferent world. Many people don't make the decision to believe anymore, don't make a decision to follow Christ. But yet, the opportunity is still there to choose the best way. And as we come and believe and trust in the God of the Bible, as we come to understand more of his work and understand more of his calling, there is no better way to follow. There is no better way. We can trust and believe in the God of the Bible. We can trust and believe in his intentions for us, his children. For once we enter into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, we have that assurance that 24/7, 365 days a year, his presence is with us. When we call upon the name of the Lord, we will know his blessing and his peace. And when the trials of life come, when the uncertainties knock on our door, when we are searching for truth in a world that is full of lies, we believe and trust in the God who has called us to follow this path. This path of trust and belief in the God who has created us, in the God who has redeemed us, in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, dear friends, I'm preaching to the converted tonight. I'm preaching to a Sunday evening congregation. Yeah. You have your own stories to tell. You have made that decision to follow. I want to tell you tonight, it's the best decision that you have ever made and ever will make. For you have a God who you have entered into a relationship with, who in Christ has said that he will never leave you or forsake you. And that is a promise we can hold on to, standing on the promises of Christ the King. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. This man is blessed. This man is truly blessed because he's chosen the right path. He's chosen the path that leads to the very presence of God, who delights in the things of God. Is it wonderful to delight in the things of God? It really is. You know, I was on holiday, Yvonne and I were on holiday in Pembrokeshire recently, and it was a part of Pembrokeshire I'd never been to before. We've been to Saundersfoot and Tenby many times, haven't we? But this was Pembrokeshire, this was in the north of the county. And there was so much in terms of spirituality around in that part of the country. We went to some burial chambers, some stones like Stonehenge that had been carried hundreds of miles to these particular places. There were three or four of them that we went to see. People who didn't have a full understanding in those days of the revelation of God, but certainly felt his presence, certainly felt the need to worship him and to praise him as the God who had created them. Perhaps they saw the trees blowing in the wind and saw the presence of God there. Perhaps they looked at the beauty of creation, a sunset, the dawn in the morning, and sensed the reality of something more. We don't know, but that's the sense that I had as we visited these places. But now, dear friends, even the psalmist himself hasn't seen what we have seen. We have seen the full revelation of his grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. No longer are we asking questions in terms of the very nature and character of God. As John says, we have beheld his glory, that of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And because of that, we are blessed. Blessed assurance, we can sing, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, bought by his Spirit, washed in his blood. Aren't we blessed tonight? Because we are sure, we know in whom we believe, and we have chosen this path that leads to righteousness, for the path that leads to destruction will lead to destruction. I was listening to the old Billy Graham sermon on YouTube last night, where he was preaching on this. This isn't Billy Graham's sermon, by the way, but I did take some tips from him. And he said, God want to send anybody to destruction, to eternal hell. He doesn't want it. His heart longs for all of creation to come to him. He has done everything to lead people in the paths of righteousness. He has given his own beloved Son to die upon the cross for our sins, to redeem us and to bring us into a relationship of grace. We are walking in the paths of righteousness now. And we are being led in the ways of truth. And for that we thank God at the close of this day. So dear friends, trust and believe in the God of the Bible who has revealed himself in Christ. Find your delight in him. And when you delight in him, you won't walk in the way of the mockers, but you will walk in the ways of righteousness. Paul tells Timothy that, be a witness, he tells Timothy, be to your people the means by which they can come to a depth of understanding who Christ is. Testify to them as you did the day you went through the waters of baptism, and you testified of your faith before those who witnessed it. And continue to follow the paths of peace and love and justice and righteousness. Dear friends, let's walk in the way of the Lord and walk in the ways of righteousness and find the real joy that the world cannot give. And then the psalmist goes on to speak about the fruits of that belief. Like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in seasons, whose leaf does not wither, whatever he does prospers. Now, when we read that, first of all, we can come to some sort of collection, understanding, that here the psalmist is speaking of something that is real in the life of a believer. Real, profound. It's like a tree planted by streams of living water. Now, I looked up the concordance about this tree by living water. Well, if a tree is planted by a stream, it naturally takes from the resources of the banks of the river, which tend to be moist and full of nutrients. Therefore, the stream is a place, the side of the stream is an ideal for a tree to be planted, because then it will yield its fruit in its season. And that's what he says here. We're walking along the path. We have decided to follow Jesus. We have decided to trust and believe in him. We know and trust and believe in the God of the Bible. We turn away from the things of the world, and then we grow in faith and knowledge of him. We grow in faith and knowledge of him. Really, isn't that wonderful? To grow in faith. Do you know, last year I went on the internet and I bought some seeds for the garden. I saw this beautiful picture of glorious flowers. They were lovely.
And they were quite expensive, you know. And I thought, I sent for these and I put them in the garden, and I, when the summer comes, I'll be able to really, really enjoy them, you know. I wish I had a picture to show you. They look like the side of Pontoyman on a winter's day. There's nothing there. Apparently, you know, Yvonne said, be patient, they might come. No, I can't be patient anymore, they're growing that height. And all they are weeds. Yeah. And there's a couple of, I think, a couple of colourful flowers, some poppies at the bottom. They were nothing like the package. It's too late to send them back now. Yeah. But I'm very tempted to go on and put a comment on it, but I don't think I'm going to do that. But I was so disappointed because what I saw in this packet was truly beautiful, and I wanted that in my garden. But I was disappointed because in the end, with all my nurturing and feeding and talking to them in the night, they didn't come, they didn't turn out to what I wanted them to be. I am absolutely disappointed, I really am. I'll bring a picture next week to show you, okay? Like we will be here next week, the week after. The reality is, I was disappointed because what I was shown didn't come to maturity. It wasn't there in the end. Dear friends, as Christians, we are not only to show and declare our faith. You know, the world can look upon us and see us as those who live religious lives, as those who fulfill religious obligations. That's what's on the packet for a lot of people out there. But it's much more than that. In fact, it's not that at all. Because when we are called to follow Christ, we bring fruit. We are something beautiful for God. We grow in faith from the seeds of faith, that we might show the world the beauty and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone, because there's no one to compare unto Him. Scripture describes Him as the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. He was one of great beauty. He, as we heard this morning, He healed, He brought comfort and blessing. He extended His hand to touch a man who was beset with leprosy. He put His hands upon him to heal him. And He showed forth that compassion and love and grace. You see, what the psalmist says here is that we yield our fruit in season and our leaves do not wither. Not like my pathetic plants. You know, let's be people of grace in a graceless world. Let's be people who show not ourselves but Him. And let's be sure that when we do that, we are fulfilling everything that God calls us to do. We are called to be those people that are different in the world. Not that we seek to be superior to others, but that we have the attitude and heart of the servant king. Whoever encountered Jesus encountered that forgiveness and grace that was beyond their understanding. And that's why, you see, the Pharisees and scribes were like my plants against the garden wall. They were there for, they weren't what they were supposed to be. They were certainly not the people that God had called them to be. They were religious people. Yes, they were. Dear, dear, they kept the law of Moses and the prophets, but they lost the spirit. They lost the grace. They lost the compassion that flows from the heart of God to all who have gone astray and invites them back into a relationship of grace with Him. And that's why he concludes this part by saying, whatever he does prospers. Do you know, dear friends, you and I might never prosper in the things of the world. You know, we might never prosper in the things of the world. In fact, I would go as far to say we're not supposed to prosper in the things of the world. Because the whole hymn says the things of the world grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Any faith that seeks to upbuild those who are part of it, to build their empires and to build their bank balances, and to have an influence and a bad influence upon others who seek to build themselves up, they have no part. They have followed the wrong path. The path of obedience, of following Jesus, will never bring us glory in the world, but it will bring us into the presence of God. And one day He will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into that which has been prepared for you before the foundation of the world. That's your reward. That's your hope. That's the glory that we know as the people of God. Dear friends, we might not have anything in terms of worldly influence.
We might not have any wealth. We might not have those things that the world sees as important. But we have a treasure that rust and moth cannot affect. We have an investment in heaven. And God has granted to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, blessed is the man who follows the way. Blessed is the man who's like a tree planted by streams of water. And then finally, we find that not for the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, or sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. There is something here that has to do with that which has to do with judgment upon evil. And evil will be judged, dear friends. You can be sure of that. Wickedness will not have a place in the kingdom of heaven. And those who seek to do those things in the world that cause hurt and devastation and death, those who seek to build their own empires and seek to forget the needs of those who are in need, they will not even stand in the judgment. And at the shaft, they will be gone no more. Their names will be part of history, but they will be forgotten in terms of the heart and mind of God. Because we have come to Christ. Because he, in his love for a lost and sinful world, died upon a cross of shame for you and for me. And when we have trusted, when we have made that step of faith in him, when we have come to the cross, repentant of our sins, walking in the ways of peace and reconciliation with God and with each other, then we are walking on a path that leads us somewhere. We are going somewhere. We are a pilgrimage. We are pilgrims in a barren land now, but we know where we are going. And because of that, we can rejoice and be glad. And we can, the church, we can be those who seek to grow together and to nurture each other together in the love that Christ has for us. We need each other. Because here in this place and every place that acknowledges that Jesus Christ is Lord is the medicine of heaven that keeps us in the faith, that enables us to grow in that faith, that we do not go the way of the wicked and the way of the lost. Because the Lord watches over us 24/7. As you know, I officiate in a number of funerals in this community, because mainly I'm from this community and know many people. And it's so sad, really, that when you go to families who have no concept of what the Christian faith has to say in situations like this, what do? Well, you do what God calls you to do. You bring words of comfort and blessing and assurance. You can only say those things that the Word of God says. You can only leave those who do not believe in the mercy of God, because the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Judge ye not that ye may not be judged." But it's always so sad. Always that sense that an opportunity to walk the right way was passed by. But when you come to the funeral of a Christian, of someone who has believed, it turns everything around. It makes sense of everything we've met here. Because here, we have no eternal city. And when those who have died in faith, and I, and every other minister, has the wonderful, wonderful privilege of sharing the life and testimony of someone who has lived according to the word of God and has died in faith, then that is a reason not for mourning, but a reason for rejoicing. It's a reason for rejoicing. Because everything that this psalm speaks of has been fulfilled in the experience of those who have gone before us, who have trusted and believed. And Jesus said, even faith as much as a mustard seed. We don't have to be theological experts. We don't have to argue theologically. If we have made that step in faith and trusted in the redeeming work of Christ, if we have set our feet upon the road that leads to glory, then we have found delight in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will have been those who have been planted by streams of living water. Our leaves will not wither, and we will prosper. Do you know what we will prosper? In the things that are of eternal worth. In those things that are of God. In those things that have to do with an eternity with God. From the place that Jesus has prepared for those who trust and believe in him. That's the good news of the gospel. And that's the gracious God who has met with us in Christ. and given us this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful gospel of grace that we can rejoice and be glad in. And that's what Paul said to Timothy. Keep the faith, Timothy. Witness, Timothy. As you witness the day you trusted in him. And give glory to God in your life. Let God be seen in you. Let God be seen in your ministry. Bring people to faith. Comfort those who are sad. Bring hope to those who are in hopeless situations. Preach the gospel of good news, that many may walk that way. And that's why, dear friends, Psalm 1 invites us to choose our path, not the path of ease, popularity, self-definition, but the path of delight in what God has done for us in Christ. And then we will have found the blessing that God surely gives and the reward that comes one day when we will enter into his presence forever. Every time, as Annette has said tonight, we approach a church anniversary, and I do believe that church anniversaries are important. You know, when you think of the first weekend of August, when you think of the story of Queen Anne and our nonconformist predecessors who were persecuted for their faith, when you think of the church in Adullam, it was called Adullam because the early believers had to worship in the caves in Llangennech because of persecution, you begin to understand of those who have gone before and have entered into glory now. That's the joy. We know them here in Greenfield, Bethel, Moriah, whatever chapel is represented here tonight, who have lived lives that are giving glory to him. And that's why we can be able to proclaim, like the saints through the ages, amazing love. How can it be, that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ, my own.